Thank you. We're delighted to be with you here tonight at Cool Springs, thankful for what Brother Ronnie's brought to us. Brother Ronnie and I do go back a long ways, bless his heart. I remember when he was about 18 years old, I believe, about the time we met, and something happened to my hair. I don't think anything's happened to his, but something bad has happened to mine. And I had a full head of hair when I met Brother Ronnie. I just want to say that tonight in front of everybody. But be that as it may, I love this dear brother and appreciate what he's brought to our hearts and to our minds. I appreciate being here tonight. Certainly didn't expect to be called. When Brother Ronnie said, I'm going to take 16 minutes, I thought at first you said 60, Brother Ronnie, and I was real excited about that. But be that as it may, we're not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for the privilege of being here. We're looking forward to being here for a portion of the meeting, a good portion of it, and hoping the Lord will bless that it'll be a time of encouragement, reviving, and strengthening to us as God's dear children. If you have your Bibles tonight, Brother Ronnie stirred our minds on a subject that we certainly agree with what he has said, that the work of regeneration is an instantaneous act of a sovereign God upon his dear children, and we're thankful for that. And if the Lord bless us, we'd like to speak for just a few moments on that. Titus chapter 3, begin reading in verse number 3. Titus 3 and 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness as we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Thankful tonight, as we said, pray the Lord bless the preaching, bless the reading of his word, and bring those things to our mind that we stand in need of as God's people. You know, we spoke last week up in North Carolina at the Bear Creek Association, and I had some thoughts about our current situation that we find ourselves in our country today. And I made the statement that it's amazing, and it's been amazing to me, I guess, for the last certainly 10 years, if not 20 years, how the same set of information, same set of facts, same set of circumstances that are given to reasonably intelligent or intellectually intelligent individuals, how that opinion that comes from that can be so vastly different in our country today. You hear the same thing that someone else hears, and yet your reaction to it is completely different. And we see a lot of that today. We've got to varying opinions, and the opinion of man is very unstable. It's shifting. We live in a day and age today, it seems like, when moral absolutes are not that important, if at all. We live in a day and age today, I think, that Jesus spoke about, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. And we see that playing out in our across our country and across the world today. But as we thought about it and considered the subject tonight of the new birth upon our hearts, there's a difference, my friends, in the way that God's children look at things and the way that the children of the world look at things. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it is. And God has blessed us, if you will, not that we would be proud or arrogant, but God has blessed us with advantages that this world does not have. The Apostle Paul asked the question, what advantage hath the Jew? And he said, chiefly this, that the oracles of God were committed unto them. They had every advantage over every country and every people in the Old Testament. They had the law of God, which was perfect, the law of God, which was good, which is holy. And even in our America today, we're amazed at how many of our laws, if you go back, thankfully to say, many of our laws are founded, laws pertaining to property, laws pertaining to different marriage situations, those kind of things are still the basis of, and it's good law, it's honorable law, it's the law of God. But as I think about that, we seem like we're living in a day and age today when the law of God and the word of God is taken for granted. Our hearts were thrilled the other evening when we sat and watched the service that took place. He can walk in the shadow of the Apostle Paul, but he said he was thankful that the name of Christ was proclaimed, and I shared that and was thankful in that. But even in that, how differing opinions come about. You see, the scripture plainly tells us, Paul the Apostle tells us, that the natural man, and that's the man that has not been touched by the quickening grace of God, that's a person that is born naturally but not born spiritually, that natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. You see, when one is born of the Spirit of God, there's a difference in the way that we look at it. I don't believe that new birth leaves some, goes through, someone goes through the new birth and comes out the other end, the hollow log, as we have heard. I don't believe that doctrine. I think there's a change that takes place. It's a new and vital change that takes place in the heart and the life of that individual. And it's a change that takes place only by the sovereign act of a sovereign God. And he does it without the means, as able a preacher as Brother Ronnie is, as able a preacher as we look out and see in the congregation here tonight. There's not one of us as a minister of the gospel that has the power to bring one from death and sin to life in Christ Jesus. That is done by the effectual work of the Spirit of God. We think about this text that we've read tonight, and kind of a lot of times when I try to speak about the new birth, I begin in John 3, and that's a wonderful chapter that tells us about a ruler of the Jews by the name of Nicodemus who went to the Lord by night. And as he goes to the Lord, he says, he asks the Lord the question. And the Lord answers his question. He said, except a man be born of the water and of the blood of the flesh, he cannot see the Spirit of God. As I think about this tonight and think about the work of the salvation, aren't we thankful tonight that the new birth, and somebody might say to you and say, well, I've had people ask me, and there's been songs that have been written, that can you take me to the time? Can you take me to the place? Can you tell me the time when the Lord saved me? My friends, I believe with all of my heart that we've been safe in the Lord Jesus Christ from before the foundation of the world. Every one of his elect heirs were known of him. He tells us in the book of Ephesians, Brother Ronnie, I'm going to try to preach, and if I get in Ephesians and Romans, that'll be all right tonight. But he says, when he's talking about this, he said, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I think the reason many times that we overlook the new birth, and maybe I would hope that we never take it for granted, never take that that's a new and vital work of the Spirit of God. It is part of the covenant of God that every elect heir of grace who was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, they have a destiny. And that destiny is to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also to receive the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, we understand that God predestinates his people to be with him one day in glory. And yet we know that the scripture is abundantly clear what took place in Genesis chapter 3, which plunged not only Adam and Eve, but all of their posterity into spiritual death and death by sin. And my friends, we are shapen in sin, conceived in iniquity. And the scripture says, and I love these little children here tonight, got 7 grandchildren of my own, and understand we've got a great grandchild on the way. We're very thankful for that. But these children this morning, this evening, as we've come together, the scripture says that they come forth from their mother's womb speaking lies. I don't know that we could ever preach, my friends, I don't know that we can ever preach the grace and the mercy of God, how great it is, how wonderful it is, how blessed it is, the entirety of the Lord. And if every minister here this weekend were to take the same text and to take the same subject, my friends, when John says in the closing chapter of the Gospel of John, he said, I suppose that if all the things that Jesus did were written in a book, that even the world itself would not contain it, would not hold the books that it would take. And we would never proclaim everything there is about the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends. But I also would say this evening, we've never really seen the depths of depravity and what depravity is and the nature of man. You think sometimes, well, I would never do this. I would never do that. I've heard people say, when Jesus was on the cross, I would have had pity on him. I would have, no, we wouldn't have. We would have done exactly what everyone did. We would have flew away. Peter, as strongly as he desired to speak of the things of God and speak, I believe that he made there, Brother Ronnie, I believe Peter was exactly saying what he felt in his heart, felt in his soul. You see, Peter's problem was not that he had not been born again. My friends, Peter's problem was he had not been converted. That's what Jesus prayed for. Jesus didn't pray, Peter, I hope you'll be born again one day. No, my friend, Jesus has already told him in John chapter 5, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. There's an hour coming when every elect heir of grace, every child of the Father, everyone given to him in covenant relationship or given to Christ before in covenant relationship before the world began will be touched. As Brother Ronnie said, as he was relating about his father, there will be touched at some time between their conception and the grave. You see, the Spirit of God, Jesus tells Nicodemus that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, and canst not tell from whence it comes, nor whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. We think last year about this time when the hurricane was coming through, and coming up I-16 today is still so evident, the storm damage and the trees. And I've said before, if I never see another blown down pine tree, it'll be fine with me. I've seen enough in southeast Georgia and central Georgia that if I never see any more, it'll be okay. And we were blessed in our area. But between you and I, my friends, they really got it. That wind was sovereign. And they had talked about it, didn't know exactly where it was going to be, didn't know exactly how long it was last, didn't know exactly how, but it blew sovereignly. And my friend says, so it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. It may come as a gentle breeze, or it may come as a hurricane individually, but my scripture tells us that all that the Father given him shall come to him. I'm thankful this evening that we can say that our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased, and it was the Father's good pleasure to keep revealing to us himself in the new birth. Now, as I think about that and consider, why do we have the varying opinions that we do? Why do we see all the chaos that we see? It doesn't matter who says something, somebody else is going to say something against it, regardless of what the validity of it is or the kindness of it. All those things seem to go away when the nature of man, by nature, and I'm not saying that everyone that says something ugly, because we've all been there and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but I'm here to say tonight that if we have ever done anything that was pleasing and acceptable and right in the sight of God, it's because his Spirit has first come and made us alive in Christ Jesus. We cannot come to him. We will not come to him. We have no desire to come to him. We don't want to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know any folks? Have you seen any folks like that recently? What makes them such contemptible? Well, here the Apostle Paul is telling a young preacher by the name of Titus, and he's telling him that preach these things, as Brother Ronnie has said, preach the doctrine. And here in the third chapter of the book of Titus, this is a man that Paul has left, that he would see that elders were ordained in the cities where the churches were built. He's entrusted to him those things. But here in the midst of this book, he gives the qualifications not only to Timothy, but also to Titus for those that would desire or those that are called to be an elder in the church. So all of this is given. And yet in the third chapter, he goes back to something that seems like would be very elementary, something that has already been taught. And that's the new birth. He says, for we ourselves, notice, he said, we were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and envy and pleasures, living in malice, envy, and hating one another. Think about that. That was where we were. He said, for we ourselves, not those folks, but we ourselves. And without the grace and the mercy of God, my friends, we would still be full of that thing. We would still be the natural man that could not receive the things of God. This meeting tonight would mean nothing to you. What's happening in our country? You would be filled with the rage and the hate that we see probably on both sides of opinions. But at the same time, my friend, the reason that we're here tonight and the reason that we're enjoying the blessings of God, the reason that we can come in from North Carolina or Arkansas or Mississippi or Georgia, wherever we may be, we come to Florida, wherever we come from, my friend, we come with a single, we have a, if you will, a common bond, a common relationship. We have been born of the Spirit of God. And if we've been born of the Spirit of God, he's changed some things in our life and the way that we look about some things in our life. He has done, my friend, for me, and I appreciate what Brother Ronnie said about the man that says, I'm not what I once was. I had somebody recently tell me that she had a mother-in-law in this case. And that mother-in-law used to use a lot of foul language in her life, I guess, earlier in the marriage. And when I looked at this dear lady that she was speaking about, I didn't see any of that. And I said, I think one of the greatest blessings of God is that the grace of God does not leave us where it finds us. And that's what Brother Ronnie's preached to us tonight, is conversion. It doesn't leave us desiring the things of the flesh. And now we might still have that desire because we're in an earthly tabernacle and we're of this earth earthly. But I want to tell you something. He has changed, if you will, our desires. He's changed our heart. He's taken away, as he says in the book of Ezekiel, I'll take away your cold and your stony heart, and I'll give you a heart, not a fleshly heart, we already had that, but a heart of flesh. We see it portrayed in the book of Acts, because on the day of Pentecost, as Peter preached the gospel and was preaching there, he says to them, he said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. Not that they would have their sins remitted, but because their sins had already been remitted, and because they had already been paid for. And as he comes to this, we find where the Apostle Paul, here in the text that we've said, we ourselves also were sometimes in this condition. He tells us about that condition in Romans chapter 3, where he begins at the crest of our head and all the way to the sole of our feet. And he says, the last thing that he says there, there is no fear of God before their eyes. My friends, I see that on display. But oh, my friends, isn't it wonderful today that when we look into the things of the gospel and we look into a time of fellowship like this, and our fellowship, believe me, this evening, our fellowship is in the gospel. Our fellowship is in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can two walk together except they be agreed, my friends? I heard a man say one time, he came to my office when I was in public work. He came there and he was telling me about his family. They had been attending another church of a different order. They were not our people to start with. But he said, as he had enough of a wisdom about him, he said, you know, he said, we've been going to this particular church on Sunday night. We go to our church on Sunday morning. But Sunday night, he said, they have a lot of young people and a lot of youth programs, so the children want to go there. And he said, we go. And he said, they're enjoying it. He said, and my wife's enjoying it. He said, but it bothers me that I never hear any doctrine proclaimed. He said, and I asked the preacher there, he said, why in the world don't you proclaim doctrine? And he said, why don't you preach doctrine? And he said, well, he said, doctrine has divided the body of Christ long enough, and we don't need to preach a lot of doctrine. We just need to preach love and forgiveness and the things that we rejoice in. My friends, this evening, as we've gathered here at Cool Springs Church, what we've got in our country today is a sin problem. What we've got before us, my friends, is a toleration for the profane and for that which is corruptible here in this world. And that's the natural man's tendency. I'm not saying everyone that says something critical is not a child of God. That's not for me to sort out. But what I can tell you is that as God's people, Paul says in the book of, in the book of Galatians, where the Apostle Paul goes into great detail as those Jews desire to go back under the Old Testament law and to require or desire that the Gentiles would also experience circumcision and continue to keep the law. The Apostle Paul, in the end of that chapter, he gives us the fruit of the Spirit of God. What is the fruit of the Spirit? These are things that are devoid of the natural man. The natural man does not have. And what does he talk about? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. All of these things that he gives us there are the fruit of the Spirit of God. That person that has been touched by the Spirit of God, as the Spirit has taken up its abode in our life and brought us from death and sin to life in Christ Jesus, we now rejoice in what the Lord has done for us and realize that if we have anything today that we can rejoice in and be thankful for, we know what James meant when he said, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Here in this world, my friends, we're going to, I believe that we're strangers and pilgrims and sojourners here, that we're just temporary residents here. Paul says in the Philippian letter, he said our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. And the reason that it is because you have been made alive. And that is, you've been made alive because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we've shed and Jesus shed his blood because in covenant relationship with the Father, that was the purpose. He has stood as a lamb slain. And my friends, isn't it wonderful to know that this new birth that we're trying to speak about, and it's so much bigger than what we can talk about here at this time. But just think about it, that it can come to an infant in a mother's womb. Oh, my friends, John the Baptist, when Mary came in at the salutation of Mary, this babe, John the Baptist, leaped for joy in his mother's womb at the salutation of Mary. I want to tell you something. That wasn't just a case of, I remember when my dear wife was carrying our children. What a blessing it was to put my hands on her stomach and to feel their kick and to feel their moving. What a blessing that was. That told me there was life there. There was something there that was alive, that was free, that was a part of her and yet was a separate identity. As I think about that and consider what a blessing it is to think of the blessings of feeling that. Well, here is a babe in a womb, my friend. And when the mother of Jesus comes into the room, he leaps for joy in his mother's womb, my friends. That's a God that can bring us from death and sin to life in Christ Jesus. I think about those that are so mentally changed or mentally challenged that they can't comprehend what you and I comprehend. Think about that with me tonight. How is the preacher going to reach them? How is the preacher going to get them to make the walk or do the talk or whatever the scheme may be? How is he going to get that person that doesn't have the mental faculties to do so? My friends, that's not a problem for our God in heaven, because he doesn't use a means for those who have, as my grandmother said, walking around sense. But he also, my friends, he is a soul brings solely those even in that challenged mental capacity. What about those that cannot hear? What about those that cannot see? What about those that have never heard the gospel? My friends, I want to say to you tonight that if God has chosen them in Christ before the foundation of the world, nothing will separate them from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm thankful to say that our God is 100% successful. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. There's not failed one word of his promise. And my friends, if we believe tonight that God can come into a grave of a dead man's heart, just as he went to the tomb of Lazarus, and speak with an irresistible voice and say, "Live, yea, I say unto thee, live." Let me ask you, is there anything else that's too hard for God? If he can do that, my friends, what else can he do? I can tell you what he can do. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Does we have need? Call to the Lord. We have a Wednesday night Zoom prayer meeting that we started back during COVID, and we're still enjoying it. And one of the brethren last night, I guess he felt like he was getting a little long in his prayer. We have about 30 minutes of preaching, and then about 30 minutes where the different men that have joined us pray. And this brother said, "Lord, pardon me for my much speaking." He said, "But I just love to talk to you." I want to tell you something. I love to talk to the Lord. He has borne me of his Spirit, brought me from death and sin to life in Christ Jesus, put my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He has spoke to me with an irresistible voice. And he's so fine. I don't know the exact word, but I know he must have said, "John, live. Yea, I say unto thee, live." And I want to tell you, all the devils of hell and all the failed intentions of men will never separate the will of God. He said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And then he says in John chapter 6, he says, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and them that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Oh, my friends, I want to tell you, this world is changing. I think I was born 50 to 100 years too late in time. I just turned 65, got my red, white, and blue card. I'm a card-carrying member now of the Medicare crowd. I'm proud of it, too. About 2.5 years of private insurance. I was ready when they sent me my Medicare card. Brother Chris, I was glad. Go ahead and work your 10 years and get that, because they say it's going to be good. I don't know. I know one thing. You better, when you get 65, you better have some insurance. Because a big day now is going to the doctor's office and then getting seafood afterwards, you know. But be that as it may, my friends, God has been so gracious to me. He has established my goings. And he gave me not only the new birth, but he's caused me to love his word. And I have been not the very faithful student of it. But my friends, every time that I look at God's word and his Spirit bears witness with my spirit, I feel to be his child. I feel to be heaven's prize. I feel to be one of his own. I feel to be something that I was not born with. I feel like I'm the very recipient of the blessings of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's good news when you're born poor. That's good news when you're born lowly. That's good news when you're not born in the palaces of Windsor Castle or some of the monarchs. I want to tell you, it's good news to know that God loves sinners, or Jesus Christ loves sinners, and came into this world to save them from their sins, my friend. He didn't try. He didn't just make an effort at it, but successful in all that he did. Oh, my friends, I want to tell you, if we can trust him for that, If we can believe today that something remarkable that is unexplainable by human means has taken place, and while we see it taking place in other people's lives, we feel the results of it in our life. And as a result of that, let me ask you, do you think one that loved us enough to send his son to die on the cross and his spirit to come and to make us alive in Christ Jesus, is there anything that God's people will need in this life that he is not able to provide? Oh, my friends, what can we pray for him? He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. But my friends, I want to tell you, if we're hungry, whether it be naturally or spiritually, or we're hungry for righteousness, do you know what? We ought to be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Righteousness is a good thing. Somebody might say, well, that's just a one of them old Christian terms. Let me tell you something. Scripture tells us that he has loved righteousness and hated iniquity. That doesn't mean he just loves iniquity a little less either, my friends. He totally rejects it and despises it. Now, as a result of that, my friends, we have been given a life whereby we may serve him. And we may live as joyful subjects, if you will, of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That we love his appearing. We love to hear about his word. And he's established, and he's when we have the events that are taking place, even in this world around us over the past 2 or 3 weeks or month or 10 years, whatever you want to say. My friends, we're not ignorant or at a disadvantage in this world. We have every advantage because these things are prophesied. But we also have the greater advantage because we know that at the end of the day, our Lord and Savior has won the battle.
Amen.
He has borne his people.
Amen.
None shall finally be lost. Praise God, they'll all be with him in glory. They're predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I said before, and I say again tonight, when Jesus came that first time and walked the shores of time, my friends, he took his form and his fashion, such as we are. And my friend, he was in our fashion, in our likeness. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. But praise his wonderful name. I say it once again. When he comes the second time, my friend, we're going to be conformed to his image.
Amen.
We're not going to be little gods. We're not going to have a kingdom in heaven. We're going to be loyal subjects of the kingdom of God. And my friends, I want to tell you, we'll rejoice in that. We'll be satisfied. I had a friend one time ask me. He said, I just don't know that I'll enjoy heaven. He said, I just don't know if I'll enjoy it. It sounds like they all sitting around flapping their wings and singing. Well, he needed to go to a good old Baptist meeting, didn't he? I said, well, Brother Guy, the reason you feel that way, you don't have the heavenly equipment yet. You'll get that one day in that new and glorified body. Your soul and your spirit will be enjoying the things of God. And this old wretched body that is sown in weakness, my friends, will be raised in honor. That is sown in corruption will be raised incorruptible. That is sown in mortality will be raised immortal. What a change, my friend. Why? Because we've been born of the Spirit of God. He says, and you hath he quickened, Paul says in Ephesians 2, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, and the Spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. But then he goes on and he tells us later in verse number 10 of that chapter, after he goes, and I would challenge anyone tonight with a Bible to show me anywhere in those first 8 verses where man has done anything in the salvation of his own self. No, he says this at the end. He tells us, but it does tell us this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Whose grace was it? God's. Whose faith was it? God. God the Father and God the Son, my friends. Faith in that covenant, the relationship. And then he goes on in verse 10, though, he tells us this, we are his workmanship. Most of us have a cell phone in our pocket or our pocketbook. You know, we just don't have a watch on tonight. We drove up here in a truck, and we're enjoying that and enjoying the afternoon. Thankful to see a little rainfall once again. We're needing it down our way too. But I want to tell you something. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We ought to praise him. Praise him for what he's done for us. Praise him for what he has done, what he's doing now. And praise his wonderful name, what he is doing for us in glory. Because, my friends, one day that same power that brought us from death and sin to life in Christ, my friends, will speak to that body that's in the grave. And you think that new birth in the soul of a man is a wonderful thing. I want to tell you, it is. But when the soul and the spirit come back together in a new and glorified body that will never feel pain, sorrow, sadness, tears, cancer, but we'll be in the presence of Jesus and the presence of God the Father. I want to tell you, brother, we'll have the equipment and we'll praise Him perfectly. We'll sing perfectly. We'll worship Him perfectly and praise His wonderful name. We'll have eternity to do it. Yeah, things look a little bad right now. But that's why we come to the Lord's house. We want to hear the good news from a far country. We want to hear what the end is. I don't know about you, but I love to know what the end of a story is. But this is not a story, my friends. This is His story, God's story. And praise His wonderful name. We'll be with Him one day in glory. By the new birth. Not by the hand of the preacher. I love these ministers here tonight. But I'll be honest with you. I don't know how. If I truly believed that I had the power to keep someone out of hell, let me just give you a practical illustration of what I'm saying. A friend of mine, and through my business, was a good man. He'd been a mentor to me. I appreciated his truthfulness, his honesty. I saw the fruit of the Spirit in his life on many occasions. And I think about that, and he got a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. And less than 4 weeks from the time he was diagnosed, he was dead. But during that period of time, it in my profession, people were calling me because I was a preacher, and they wanted to know about this man's spiritual condition. Did he ever accept Christ? Did he ever walk the aisle? And, you know, I got tired of answering it after a while. And I finally said this to him. I said, let me tell you something. If I knew there was one thing that I could do, one thing that I could say, or one time I could go, I said, I would not rest, I would not sleep, I would not eat until I had done that thing to be sure that my friend had eternal salvation. But my friends, that was not my burden for him. My burden was for his family and for his passing, because I believed that it was a cure for him. But it wasn't going to be the cure of the doctors. It wasn't going to be the cure. And praise His wonderful name. I believe my friend is in heaven tonight because he was born of the Spirit of God, because Christ died for him, because God the Father covenanted to do so. Oh, I'm thankful tonight. Thank you for the opportunity. I sure wasn't expecting to be called on, especially not tonight, but we're just glad to be here. Thank God for Brother Ronnie. We look forward. Thank the Lord for Brother James and his recovery. Brother Ronald's had health issues. We're just thankful that God has lengthened out the portion of our days. Lengthened out, as Brother Elder Manning Temples used to say, Sister Barbara, lengthened out the brittle thread of our life. You've ever heard him say that. To this day, He's lengthened it out that we can come and worship with you here at Cool Springs. May God bless you.